Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Father, we bow before you this morning. Lord, I love the words. Trust you. We trust you, God, that no matter what we're walking through, no matter what's going on in our lives, the mountaintop experiences, the valleys, we trust you. And Lord, may that be our cry. Lord, there's no doubt that there's somebody here going through some hard things, and I pray that today they would recommit their trust. I pray that today they would just honor you no matter what. And Lord, just give us a confidence that you've got it, that we can trust you, that your word is truth, no matter what we may see, no matter what we may feel, you are truth, and our trust can be in you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you, Jesus, for all you do for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can we thank our worship team for leading us so well this morning? We really, really, really appreciate you guys. Well, good morning and welcome to City Hope. I'm glad you're here today. My name's Bobby, and if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I would love that opportunity. We are just so grateful today that each and every one of you are here. How many of you forgot that it was time change this weekend? Anybody forget? Yeah, I did too until late last night. But we're glad you're here. As you came in, this is kind of our lobby over here, all right, on the other side of this beautiful curtain. This is our lobby, and there's all kinds of tables there, and we want to connect with you, all right? So we don't just put it there so it looks like a flea market. We want you to connect, all right? And so there's student table, there's prayer tables, there's info tables, there's if you want a restaurant recommendation tables, there's everything is over there. So if you want to get connected, we're trying to help you out right through there. And so we would love to do that. If you're an introvert, just use your phone, right? Text in the question or text your name, the connect card there as you tap. And we would love just to say thank you for coming. Today we're going to close out our series that we've been in called More Than a Feeling. And we've been walking through the book of Song of Solomon, or maybe your Bible says Song of Songs. And we've just been rediscovering passion and intimacy and all the things that God designed for us. It's not something that we need to avoid or it's something to be abused, but it is something designed by God as a gift for us to enjoy. And so I hope this has been beneficial to all of you. If you've missed some of it, go back on our podcast and you can listen or you can send it out to your friends. But whether you're single or married, I hope that this has been challenging. Our hope through all of this series has been that we would call marriages to a deeper connection, back to the way that God created it. And our hope to our single friends is that you would have a patient, hope-filled trust in God's timing for your life. And I want to spend some time today closing out this series. And there's going to be several different things that we go through. But my heart today is just to close this out in a way that honors the Lord, but a way that challenges you, but also gives you some more tools and information as you go into your next season of marriage or your next season of dating or wherever you're at in your relationships. And so just a quick review. Song of Solomon is written by Solomon. He was the third king of Israel. He was writing to and back and forth to an unnamed Shulamite woman. This was his first love. This is his one true love. At this time, it was his one true love. But it's a love story that shares so much about their journey together. And it went kind of in the natural way of a relationship. It went from kind of their courtship and dating into their marriage, into their honeymoon, into their sex life. It's been all throughout. And so we've looked at them in that order. But today we're going to see that the end of this book, something new happens. Something different happens. So if you have your Bible, go to Song of Solomon chapter number 5. Now we are going to bounce around a little bit today, but we're going to start here in chapter 5. And then we'll finish out 6, 7, and 8, the rest of this book this morning, all right? And so let me ask you to do this. Stand with me and honor the reading of God's word. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. We'll begin reading in verse number 2. Now remember, in this is more of like a musical, all right? There's some things in here. You're like, what in the world does that mean? How do I interpret this? There's some of this is written by Solomon. Some of it was written by the woman. Some of it was written by their friends, all right? And so we just kind of got to follow along with what's going on here, all right? So we're going to see a new twist on the relationship. Everything's been great. The dating, the wedding, the honeymoon, the intimacy, it's all been awesome up to this point. Now watch what happens here in chapter number 5. The woman speaks, she says in verse 2, I was sleeping, but my heart was awake, a sound. My love was knocking. Then here's Solomon. Open to me, my sister, my darling, my dove, my perfect one. What a pickup. I mean, this guy, he's got it, right? For my head is drenched with dew, my hair with droplets of the night. The woman says, well, I've taken off my clothing. How can I put it back on? I've washed my feet. How can I get them dirty? My love thrust his hand through the opening and my feelings were stirred for him. Verse 5, I rose to open for my love. My hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers with flowing myrrh on the handles of the bolt. I opened to my love. Now look at this. But my love had turned and gone away. My heart sank. Because he left. I sought him, but did not find him. I called him, but he did not answer. The guards who go about the city, they found me. They beat and wounded me. They took my cloak from me, the guardians of the walls. Young women of Jerusalem, I charge you, if you find my love, tell him that I am lovesick. Would you pray with me? Father, bless the reading of your word. It's amazing the stories we get to read, the takes that we can apply to our life of this couple of so many thousands of years ago that we can apply to our lives today in 2026. And I pray, God, that today you would open up our hearts and open up our minds to what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Now, there's a lot going on here. And by the way, I just want to challenge you. I know I probably say this a lot. But let me encourage you to take some notes, all right? If you didn't bring a notepad and a pen, get your phone out, take some notes here, because I truly believe that's the way that we can just continue learning as we leave here in a little bit and life starts hitting us this week. It helps us as we you know, reflect on what the Lord said. So this passage here is surprising. Because up to now, everything has been romantic, everything has been fairy tale-esque, and now there is some tension. There's some trouble in paradise. Solomon comes knocking on the door, and his wife delays getting up. Now let me ask you this question. How many of you already can relate with this woman? Because when the PJs come on and the covers are on, you ain't getting up for nobody. Anybody in here like that? Like, you're done. Right, I'm not getting up. Leave me alone. I'm in bed. So here she is. She's laying in bed and she's like, listen, I'm not getting up. And so he's knocking on the door. And then finally, by the time she gets up, she realizes he's not at the door anymore. And so what does she do? She puts her clothes on and she starts running through the city playing hide and seek with her husband because she can't find him. Now this is the first moment when their relationship starts to get a little messy. There's some distance in between them. There's some miscommunication going on here. There's some hurt going on here. Now, how many of you guys in here, those of you that are married, have ever had any type of conflict in your marriage? Anybody at all? None at all? All right? Y'all some holy people this morning. I've never had any conflict in my marriage, but every other relationship has. All the healthy ones like you, all right, we all hit moments of conflict, of miscommunication, of distance, of struggle, of hurt. I said something I shouldn't have. Two people in love can still hurt each other. Why is that? Because we're both sinners. We're both imperfect people. We're both not really, honestly, that good of people. If we, you know, strip it all down and get back to the way God created us, we're selfish. Now, there's a couple of things here that I think are very, very, very important for us to know and to remember and to recommit to. So if you're single in the room today, I want to just drop this on you because this is very, very, very important, all right? Marriage does not eliminate conflict. Marriage exposes it. If you are here this morning and you're dating and you're thinking, oh, if we just get married, all this hard stuff will go away. I got a little bit of news flash, all right? It gets worse. It gets harder. Because marriage is the thing that puts all those problems in a pressure cooker. Because guess what? You got to go to bed next to that person every single night that you're mad at, that you're miscommunicating with, that you're hurt by. Marriage doesn't eliminate conflict. Marriage exposes it. Now, for those of you that are married in the room, this moment right here has to teach us something too. And here it is. I want you to get this, that love doesn't stay strong because there's no conflict, all right? Love stays strong because people refuse to quit when conflict comes, all right? Just because you and your spouse are in an argument doesn't mean that you're the worst couple ever. Just because you guys have some conflict doesn't mean that your marriage is breaking down. It means that it's being tested. It means that, guess what? You're normal because all of us have conflict in our lives. Now, here's what matters the most, and this is where so many of us get this wrong. What matters the most is not if you have conflict. What matters most is how do I respond when I have conflict? How in the world do I respond? How do I react when something happens in a way that I didn't want it to? Something is said in a manner that I did not like. How do we respond? See, I believe that healthy relationships, they learn to work through tension and conflict instead of running away from it. And some of us, that's our natural reaction, right? Tension comes, conflict comes, we shut down and we run, we flee. Others, tension comes, conflict comes, we put our dukes up, let's go, right? It's the fight or flight in all of us. But I believe what we're gonna see is healthy relationships, we learn to work through tension instead of running from it. Now, here's something that I love about God's word. Did you know that the Bible is incredibly practical about how to deal with conflict? I mean, it is so simple, but yet we make it so difficult. God doesn't just say, well, love each other and everything's going to be great. He tells us how to handle moments like Solomon and his wife are going through. He gives us exact ways to act and to respond when things get hard. Let me give you just two. I'm just going for two today, all right? James chapter 1, verse 19. Look at this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. When conflict comes in your marriage, in your dating life, in any relationship that you have, God gives us a very simple cue. Everyone, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. What do? We're quick to speak, we're quick to become angry, right? And then look at Proverbs chapter 15. Let me give you one more. Look at this. How do I handle conflict? How should I respond? How should I react? Look at this. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Now, I don't know about you, but I put these two verses in a category that those are really easy to read, but hard to do. Those are really easy for me to stand up here and preach about and to talk about, but they are very difficult when I'm in the heat of the moment. When my wife and I are having this marital spat, this conflict that comes just like them, there's distance, there's hurt, there's struggle going on. These are easy to read, but they're hard to do. Because you mean to tell me, Lord, that if I just shut my mouth, it's going to help my relationship? It's that simple? You mean to tell me if I just stay calm and answer gently, it's going to get me further with my spouse? I mean, that's so easy. Turns out God kind of knows what he's talking about, right? It turns out that when we follow God's word and it's right there, it helps us. And God, so many times throughout his word, gives us these tools. He gives us these ways that we can help the conflict in our life. Now, I want to tell you something that really convicted my soul this week as I started thinking about this. Because typically, let me tell you how it goes in my house. We have conflict over something. And maybe it's an argument about money or argument about the kids or argument about something. And can I just be real with you guys? Within probably 24 to 48 hours after the conflict happens, I usually forget why we had conflict in the first place. I'm like, what were we mad about? Because, and here's where the Lord convicted my heart this week. Most conflicts don't explode because the problem is huge. They explode because our pride is huge. Most conflicts aren't these huge, massive things. Now, some of us have those. Don't get me wrong. That happens in all of our lives. But the majority of our conflicts, they don't explode and become big, huge problems because the problem is huge itself. They explode and become big because my pride is huge. And you said something, and I got to have justice, and I got to get my way, and I'm right, and I know I'm right, and you're never going to convince me that I'm not right. And our pride gets so big that the problem becomes even bigger. But I think healthy couples learn something simple but so powerful, that winning the argument is not the goal. Protecting the relationship should be the goal. Protecting the intimacy, the passion, the connection between my spouse and I, my future spouse, my fiance, that should be the goal. And so this is exactly what the Shulamite woman does. She realizes there's distance, there's conflict. I didn't get up. He must be upset. And so she's running through the town looking for him. And she refuses to let the distance between them win. She's like, no. I got to go find my man. I got to get to him. Now watch this. Watch what happens. Go to chapter 6. Watch what happens here. It doesn't stop at just her running through the town looking for her man. Look what happens at the beginning of chapter 6 here. Her friends are speaking here at the very beginning in verse 1. Where has your love gone? Most beautiful of all women, which way has he turned? We will seek him with you. And her friends are like, come on, we're going to help you. We're going to help you. Now, again, a little side note, get some people in your life that are willing to help you in your relationship, right? Have some people in your life that are going to encourage you the way her friends encourage her. So they're saying, come on, where did he go? We're going to help you find him. And then she says this, my love has gone down to his garden, to beds of spice, to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. Now, verse 3, this is, highlight this, underline this. I am my love's, and my love is mine. He feeds among the lilies. So after the tension in chapter 5, her friends ask this question, where's your man? Where is he at? If he matters so much to you, why aren't you going to find him? As a matter of fact, we'll help you go and find him. And her response there in verse 3 is so powerful. And if you're just reading, you can skip right over this. But she says that phrase, I am my love's, and my love is mine. Now, I want you to notice something, and let me talk to the ladies here for just a second, all right? Let me talk to the ladies. Notice what she does here. I mean, her friends, they're in her ear. She's having this conversation with them. Notice that she didn't start listing all of his faults. She didn't start telling all of her friends, well, let me tell you what he did, right? Let me tell you about him. She doesn't start rehearsing her argument and claiming that she's right and I'm going to win this argument. What does she do? She goes right back to the covenant, right back to the promise, right back to the commitment that they made together. I am my love's and he is my love. She goes back to the foundation of their relationship. She remembers what this whole thing started on. And even though they had conflict, the commitment didn't change. The commitment to loving one another did not change. Why is this such a big deal, Bobby? Because the moment conflict shows up, most people, what do? We shift our focus to the problem instead of remaining on the person. We shift to, why did you say that? Why did you do that? How come this is happening? You told me you wouldn't do that. You've done that 100 times and I've asked you not to. We shift to the problem instead of staying focused on the people. And here she is. She's on, you know what? You're right. He's mad at me. I need to go find him. But my love is for him and his love is for me. And that's the promise we made. And that's what I'm going to stick to. And over again, God's word gives us so many practical tools when it comes to conflict, when it comes to what does he want me to emphasize in conflict? When this relationship starts to struggle and this guy that I'm dating and we're talking about marriage and I'm tired of waiting and I wish he would just ask me, and but now we're struggling with this same old. What does the Bible continue to tell us? Look at Ephesians. Look what Paul tells the church in Ephesians. He says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Notice what he says. Make every effort. Keep trying. Don't give up. Make every effort. Why do I have to make every effort? Because listen, unity is not automatic. It's not automatic. It's just not going to show up every single day. It requires effort. It requires patience. It requires humility. It requires forgiveness. Sometimes love means putting up with one another. You marry someone wonderful, but you also marry their habits. You also marry their quirks. You also marry their bad days. You marry their blind spots. And guess what? They marry yours. And we have to stay committed to the covenant. And she says, okay, well, I got to go find him, but I know. Let's go back to the promise. Let's go back to the foundation of this relationship. I am my love's, and my love is mine. We are one. We're connected. We're together. And so we can get through this. We're not going to give up. We're going to keep pushing. And that's why the handling of conflict is such a big deal, church. Conflict doesn't have to destroy our love. It doesn't have to destroy. Handled the right way, conflict can actually deepen our love. It can help us and strengthen us and grow us. So Solomon doesn't end there. He's got some conflict there in verse 5. In verse 6, the friends step in. They're trying to help. But he doesn't close out the book with that. Look how he closes out his letter here in chapter number 8. Go to chapter number 8 and look at verse 6 and 7. Let's go back to what the woman was saying. This is massive. She says this. Set me as a seal on your heart, as a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death. Jealousy is as unrelenting as Sheol. Love's flames are fiery flames, an almighty flame. A huge torrent cannot extinguish love. Rivers cannot sweep it away. If a man were to give all his wealth for love, it would be utterly scorned. So let's break this down real quick. She says, set me as a seal upon your heart. Now, in the ancient world here, a seal represented ownership, okay? A seal represented permanence. So kings, what they would do is they would press their seal into wax and they would mark something, which meant it belonged to that king. It was theirs forever. They put their marking on there. And here's what she's saying. She goes, I wanted to make sure that our love is permanent, right? I just made up a new word. Our love is permanent, all right? And she's saying, I want it to be a covenant, not a temporary love. This is a covenant. This is a promise. This is ownership right here. And the writer then, he says something really powerful. After she says, set a seal on your heart as a seal on your arm. And then look what she says there, underline this. She says, for love is as strong as death. again, that's one of those sentences that if you're not careful, you just read right over. But what do we know about death? What do we know about death? We know that death is final. We know that death is permanent. It's not temporary. We understand the power of death. It holds on and it does not let go. And that's what the Bible tells us real love is. It's as powerful as death. The seal of permanence is on there. The power of death is there. And that's real love. That's committed love. When conflict comes, it does not matter. The seal is there. The power of death is over this. And that's how strong it is. But then it goes on to say something even more fascinating. Look at what he keeps saying after, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is as unrelenting as shield. And then look at this. Love's flames are fiery flames. And then it says this, an almighty flame. In other words, the deepest kind of love that you and I could see, that you and I could ever have, that you and I could ever witness, it wasn't originated with us. It comes from the Almighty God. The fiery flames, an almighty flame. Now I want to park here for just a second, because I believe that this is one of the greatest strategies the enemy uses in your life and in mine. Let me explain to you what I'm saying, right? If the enemy can convince you that you are unlovable, you're going to struggle to receive God's love. If you're so far gone, you've done so much in your past, you've messed up in your marriage, you've messed up in your previous marriage, you've messed up in your dating life, you didn't save yourself, whatever it is, if the enemy can convince you that you are unlovable, then what will happen is that when I can't receive love from God, guess what I'm going to struggle to do? Give love away. When I cannot truly see myself the way that God sees me, then I'm going to struggle when it comes to conflict in relationships. I'm going to struggle with wanting my way all the time. I'm going to struggle. And I think the enemy uses this strategy on so many of us. He convinces people that you are unlovable. And you see, church, I want you to get this too. God's love, let's go back to death, is a dying love. Now, what does that mean? It means that he loved you so much that he sent his only begotten son to die for you. That's the amount of love that God has. And for some of you, that may be the hardest part of this entire series yet. For you to truly accept God's love and understand that this God is unrelenting when it comes to me because of guilt that you carry, because of condemnation that you carry. Maybe you had a poor representation of God's love shown to you. Maybe people in your life haven't loved you well. Maybe someone has hurt you and you put that on the Lord. And for those of you that have a hard time receiving God's love, I want you to hear this today. And here's been my prayer all week, that you would walk out of here knowing and receiving God's unmatched, unconditional, undeserved love. That is the thing for your relationship to grow. That's the thing that has to happen in your life. That you would see you the way that God sees you. I truly believe that with all of my heart, that is one of the primary reasons why there's so much marital conflict, why there's so much divorce, why there's so much struggle within our marriages. Yes, we're sinners. Yes, we're always going to struggle. We're never going to be perfect. But we have to understand, the greatest love story ever told is not Solomon and his bride. It's Christ and his church. It's Christ and his people. Church, Jesus didn't just love us when we were easy to love. He loved us when we were sinners. He loved us when we ran. He loves us when we are unfaithful to him. He always has loved us. He loves us when we turn our back on him. And you know what? just like the kings would seal the things for permanence, guess what Jesus did for you and I? He went to the cross, and that was the covenant. That was the seal that you and I needed to understand. This isn't a if you like me love. This is a permanent, everlasting love. And because Jesus went to the cross, that was his covenant between you and me. And when you see yourself the way that God sees you, it's going to strengthen every other relationship that you have. And that matters deeply. Because when you understand how deeply you are loved by God, it changes the way that you love people. Let me say that again, because we're in church and we're supposed to say these things, right? When you see and feel and know and recognize the way that God loves you, it changes the way that you treat people. The way that you love, the way that you forgive, the way that you're aware, the way that you know that you don't deserve it, so you're going to give it to other people who don't deserve it. When I recognize the way that God loves me, it changes the way that I forgive. It changes the way that I fight. It changes the way that I wait for the right person. But then Solomon closes the book with these powerful, powerful words. Look at verse 7 here in chapter 8. A huge torrent cannot extinguish love. Rivers cannot sweep it away. If a man were to give all his wealth for love, it would be utterly scorned. Here's what he's saying. Storms are going to come. Hard seasons are going to hit. Conflict's going to come. But covenant love survives the storms. Covenant love survives the storms. Why? Because it's not built on feelings. It's not built on feelings. It's built on a promise. And the kind of promise that lasts. And that kind of love is so much more than a feeling. It's so much more than a feeling. So as we close out this series, I want to talk to, there's really two groups in the room. First, those of you in the room that are single. Maybe you're young, just haven't got to that age yet. Maybe you've been married before and for whatever reason you're single now. Students, college age, young adults, wherever you're at in this single journey. Our culture is going to tell you to settle for convenience. Our culture is going to tell you to settle for someone who makes me happy right now. But Scripture points us to something so much better. Scripture reminds us to wait for the kind of love that reflects God's design. Singles, trust in God's timing. Trust in God's timing. The goal isn't just finding someone. The goal is finding someone in a covenant worth building a life with. So let me encourage you today. Be patient. Wait for God's timing. Now to the married couples in the room. Marriage was never meant to be perfect. Never. It was meant to be faithful through the good times and the bad. Healthy marriages are not the ones who don't struggle. That's not existing. Get that out of your mind. They're the ones that keep choosing one another over and over again. Because covenant love is the kind of love that refuses to walk away when things get hard. And the beautiful truth about all of this is every love story on earth is meant to point us to a greater love story, and that's the love of Jesus for his people. That's what your marriage and my marriage should look like. A love that pursues. That's what God does for us. A love that sacrifices. That's what God did for us. A love that is sealed with a covenant. It's a permanent love. That's what Jesus did on the cross for you and I. That's the kind of love that lasts. I want to close out this series a little bit different. I want to invite Shira to come up How long have we been married? 22 years. So blessed. I told them that we're perfect and we never fight, so just so they know that now. So grateful. So grateful that, you know, I have a wife who strives to live this way, and we strive, and we fuss, we fight, we argue, we have conflict, we have bad days, we have good days, just like everybody else. But one thing that blesses my heart so much is I know, I'm just bragging on her for a second, I know that Shira is a prayer warrior. And I know that she, man, for 22 years has prayed fervently for our marriage, for our children, for when conflict comes. And just a little peek inside, she's usually the one, even if it's my fault, that comes and says, hey, let's talk. Hey, we got to figure this out. And I'm so grateful for that. And so I was thinking about, how do we close out this series? And so here's what I want to do. I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you to make a commitment today. And here in just a sec, Shira's going to pray for that commitment. She's going to pray for that challenge. But I also want to not just challenge you, but I also want to pray a prayer of blessing over our marriages. A prayer of protection over those of you who are single in this room. You know, again, all different ages, all different seasons, all different styles. And a lot of times when I think single, you know, our oldest daughter, Emma, she's not in here right now, but she just turned 18, you know, which blows my mind, like she's an adult, but she's not, right? And so when I think single, when I'm reading this stuff and I'm thinking of this, man, I want her and my girls to have godly relationships. And then I start thinking about the other singles in here, and man, I just so desperately want you to be patient and want you to wait for God's timing, and I want you to wait for God's person and trust in Him and not in what the world's trying to convince you to go out there and do. And so I want to just pray a prayer of protection, of blessing, of trust. And I've asked Shira to do that. So, but before we get there, here's what I want to do, okay? Here's the challenging part. For the marriages in the room, let me start with you. If you're here today, and I don't know, again, maybe you got in a fight on the way to church. Anybody ever done that? The pastor's done that. We've done that. Maybe you got in a fight on the way to church this morning. But if you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor Bobby, no matter what, I'm committed to fighting for my marriage. I'm committed to not quitting when things get hard. I'm committed to loving my spouse, their good days, their bad days, their blind spots, their struggles, their weaknesses. I am committed. I want to ask you right now, would you just stand? If you say, I'm married and I'm here and I'm committed to doing these things. If that's you, just stand. Now, here's what I want you to do. Men in the room, if you're together, men, I want you to just take the hand of your bride, take the hand of your wife, and I want you to just turn and face. And men, right now, all over this room, here's what I want you to do. I want you to just grab your spouse, and I want to invite you right now to pray out loud over your marriage. Pray out loud over your spouse. Pray out loud that conflict may come, but this is a covenant, baby. Struggles may come, emotions may come, feelings may go, but this is a covenant, and I'm committed. I'm committed to making this work. So right now, all over this room, let's just take a moment and just pray. Men, lead the way. Pray over your marriage right now. Pray over your spouse. Let's fight for our marriages. Now, for those of you who are not yet married, and students, listen to me. Students, I'm talking to you too. This isn't just an adult thing. For those of you that are single in the room today, I want you to hear me. We love you. We value you. We believe that God has something great for you. And because of that, I want to give you an opportunity today. I want to challenge you today. Maybe you've already done this, and maybe this is just a moment of recommitment. But here's the challenge, and I want to put this declaration up on our screen. So I want you to see this. If you're single in here today, you're not yet married for whatever reason, whatever age you are, doesn't matter. Would you make this declaration today? God, I will trust your timing and refuse to settle for something less than your design. God, I will trust in your timing and refuse to settle for something less than your design. And so if you're here today and you're single and you want to make that commitment, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to just to stand to your feet. Say, I'll make it. I'll make that declaration today. I'll proclaim that. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to just bow your heads. And married couples all over this room, maybe you see someone standing. Maybe you know them. Maybe you don't. But can we just pray right now? Shira's going to pray out loud this prayer of commitment, this prayer of blessing, this prayer of protection over all of us. But single folks, we stand with you. We love you. We want City Hope to always be a church where people fight for their marriages and fight for their relationships. That's what we're trying to build here. And so let's ask the Lord to bless this commitment. Make that commitment right now to him, right where you stand. Make that commitment to him today. This is not to us. It's not to me. It's not to our church. This is between you and the Lord. Would you give him that relationship today?
Jesus, I thank you for loving us in the season we're in, whether it's a hard season or a mountaintop season, God. But I just pray especially just for everybody under my voice, God, the devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy our relationships. I just pray for the person who's not married. I pray for the student, God, that you will remind them that the world looks so good, but you're so much better. Keep their eyes from things they shouldn't see. Give them convictions when they need to step away. I pray if they're in a relationship that is just fun and not glorifying you, God, that you will convict them so much that they have to do something about it today. I pray for the student who feels like they stick out because they're trying to live pure. They're trying to live your way, and it's so hard, God. I pray for encouragement over their heart. I pray for just bravery in their soul that they can take a stand and know that you have something so beautiful for them. Help them to see just heavenly minded today, God. I pray for the young single, the old single, whatever season all my other friends are in. God, I just pray right now that you lift them up. I have friends who I know desperately, they just want a partner and they want to be married, God. And I pray for that for them. I pray for the person standing here who just yearns for a godly relationship, Lord, that you will bring the man, you will bring the woman of you to them, that they will trust in your timing, that they will trust that you love them more than any person ever could, that they will remember that, God, another person doesn't fulfill us, and only you can truly fulfill us. And that sounds so cliche, but it's so true, God. You love each of us so much, and we trust in your plan. We trust in the purpose for your life, but ultimately, I just pray, God, that we are different, that we are not so engrossed in our own lives and our own relationships that we forget that there is a world who is hurting. There is a world that doesn't know you. I just pray, God, for release from bondage of maybe a sin that they're struggling with, or maybe just doubting that you're good and you love them and they feel forgotten. I pray right now that you'll just put your arms around the person who feels forgotten. Know that you made them perfectly, that you love us not for anything we can do, but you love us because you made us, God, and I thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that we just will fall in love with your word, because I know that's where we find our strength and our power to stay pure. We love you, Jesus. I thank you for relationships. I thank you for the church. I thank you for my husband. I thank you, God, just for each day. You give us enough to make it through the day, Lord. Help us to be a people that run after you no matter what is going on around us. In your holy, precious name, amen.
Amen. You can be seated. As we close out this series and close out our day today, let me just remind you, maybe the Lord, the Holy Spirit's stirring something. And maybe there's marriage struggles. Maybe there's trials you're going through. Maybe there's just personal struggles. That's why we are here. We want to help. We want to walk with you. We want to be a tool for you to use, to lean on. And so please don't hesitate to reach out. You grab one of our pastors, our prayer team. Here's what I know, that when you and I decide that we're going to fight against the enemy, we're going to fight for our marriage, guess what happens? The enemy begins to fight harder, right? And so maybe some of you, again, you're walking through some really difficult things right now, and you just need somebody to help. That's why we're here, and our doors are open. And so we want to help in any way we can. We thank you guys so much. I pray that this series has been helpful and that the Lord would use it to continue to strengthen all of us, our commitment to one another. And thank you guys so much for being here. Pastor Stephen, come give us some announcements. Thank you. Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you. And the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.